to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Congratulations to Dean, who won that Rear Hall album, and get ready for some really unbiased political commentary. David Slack and myself sitting here talking politics. Hi, David. How are you?
I'm fizzing.
We haven't spoken since, as you put it, the planet warmed again.
Yeah. Kindness came back.
Kindness came back. Be kind. Worked. That's one of the big things of obviously I support. I'm a supporter of the Jacinda effect. But it was how inspiring to be able to say to my son, that politician there did it without having to scam or cheat or lie, as far as we know.
It's beautiful. I was watching her on CNN last night, and the tag at the bottom said New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, and there was this that suddenly it felt more real than it already had, and shit, this is cool.
That's right. When she's standing up there at Apex, it's going to be good.
You bet. Yeah. Oh, look, she's already demonstrating. Well, she was demonstrating it last night when she was being interviewed by Christiane Amanpour. She's at entirely at ease and composed and poised and informed for that kind of role. And she'll be, I think she'll be tremendous at AP.
I think it's really unusual that people thought that she would in any way take that on board if she wasn't prepared for it. Like people go, she's a little bit. I just can't get over the image that I saw before the Winston Peters announcement. I can't get the image of. It was just after, wasn't it? It was the weekend after when the woman with the clutching her pearls in Newmarket, her jowls shaking like a turkey, going, oh, it's just awful. Oh,
it's like,
your poor third rental property might not return as much. It's just like, it really is. Like, it's been phenomenal. Like, listening to Talkback and stuff. You've been on Talkback. I've heard you on Talkback. I've heard you read some of your commentary you've been writing since. What about the freaky behaviour of the people who lose? Do you think the left would have been the same?
Or? I have seen the left get spit the dummy before. Yeah, they're
but not end they're, of the a, world spit the dummy.
There's a part that can do it. Yeah.
No, actually, I'm probably as guilty of that as everyone else. Actually,
but there is a pettiness to it. There's particularly older women calling her a girl. Don't care for that. No. It feels like every single retired man in the country has been asked to write down what he and his golf mates think of this girly in the Royal New Zealand Herald mostly. And you've got a lot of people, I think, who seem to have this attitude that she's not up to it, and of all the reasons you could have an objection, it's the poorest of all. She's one of the most.
Sure, it definitely is.
She's a policy wonk. She's a driven worker, and she doesn't, like you rightly said, she doesn't take on something until she's ready for it. She's not some simpering beauty queen who's astonished to be handed the crown.
It's not like she's the one that's going for the new spot as the Bravo host on Bravo TV, which is happening at the moment, and that's really shallow. But
coming soon as a reality TV version as well.
But that's the way people were treating it, though, weren't they? Initially, it was like, is she going to be able to? I mean, she's got a boyfriend. Oh, I mean, it was fascinating, and especially when someone. It doesn't take you long if you watch some of her speeches or you watch her work in Parliament or you have followed her political career. And anyway, then you realise that's a politician. She's a politician there.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
a lot of people that have been in Parliament, have been part of our government for the last 9 years who shouldn't have even taken that on board.
Oh, look, I could have walked you through about 90% of the Muldoon cabinet. They were yes, men, and they were old, and they were entirely biddable, and they had no initiative, and they weren't at all well informed about their portfolios. The extent to which she is prepared and informed is tremendous, and the cabinet she's put together has a lot of very capable people.
Isn't that fascinating? Character. Because there was I'm sure I could hark back to a conversation you and I had, basically saying Labour, it's pretty much going to collapse. That was the feeling, wasn't it?
Six
or 7 months ago, before Andrew Little, did what he did, and the brave Andrew Little, forever, he'll be forever canonised for that, eh, won't he? Just
hell of a contribution.
Good on him, eh? And I hope he does really well with his portfolio that he seems to be taking on board with gusto.
But there was something that Bill English said after this result, and it was sort of...
Yeah, we won! Was it that bit?
Well, first there was that. And then there was the sort of... but then there was this quiet wonder. He said, you know, and just 12 weeks ago, she was the deputy leader of a fading party. And he wasn't wrong about that.
No, but
it's astonishing how you can shift fortunes in politics.
And not just her, this is what I'm saying, not just her, it's the party itself. The party suddenly, who seemed completely flimsy and balsa wood strong, suddenly have strong policies that they've been thinking about. You actually go, oh my God, they actually were thinking about this.
And here's your great demonstration of the advantage of MMP. You actually combine the talents of two other parties and you get a lot of capable people. Because when I say that I think there are capable people in the cabinet, I'm also talking about people outside it,
sure,
like James Shaw, Julianne Genta, people who are really well-informed, terrific at conveying the arguments for a policy and conceiving ways to get them executed. It's terrific. And David Parker, you know, there are people on the right who think he's lamentable, but I do not agree with them, and I think he's a terrific...
Some people think he's like the Rasputin of the Labour Party as well.
Yeah,
he's in there,
man,
and he's a puppet master. That's Stephen Joyce, isn't it?
Yeah, well,
the
is
National
it ever?
Party. Like, I mean, how is his form post announcement, do you think?
God almighty, I heard him on Morning Report yesterday morning thinking... It sounded to me a little... Well, I was thinking actually in terms of National now potentially not having any mate in Parliament.
Mateless.
And they
no mates.
They have no partner. So so I was thinking, it felt like, you know, after 9 years of dating this weird libertarian, suddenly he's newly single and he's drunk calling the morning radio and he's trying to figure out how to swipe. You know? And they've got a problem ahead of them. There's one wrinkle in it, and it is this. If there's a lot of resentment about this outcome, and there's a poll not too far from now that shows a lot of those angry jowled people in Newmarket expressing themselves,
the farmers and landlords.
That's
basically
right. Yeah. Well, then you get a story that says, "Oh no, they're already on the ropes. Oh, they're already fading," and then you might have some momentum. But even if you did,
but the thing is, that they tried that. They tried that all throughout the whole electoral campaign. That was their technique, and relentlessly positive just powered through.
That's right. The most they could get, even under those circumstances, was 46% of the polls. So you can't, they can't get a majority on their own. And they got, to refrain, they got no mate. They got nobody else to get into bed with and do those kinky things they do. And so they are, and to go back to the...
All right, she's gone. Let's go.
and to go back to the racing metaphor, they're three wide without a trail.
True. Now, let's give them a bit of credit, though. Where credit's due. They're going to make a formidable opposition, aren't they? They're going to be nasty.
Well, they say
nasty.
They surely, say that.
Surely, you've still got Judith Collins in there. I wish you could see that face I just did there, listeners.
I've got to confess, actually, of all the Nats, I kind of like Judith Collins.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Like her spirit.
She's
I
not
like
going to back down.
I like her sense of humour.
She's not going to...
And she's smarter than a lot of them.
What are you, Duncan Garner?
But she also does some egregious, appalling, astonishing things, and I can't forgive her for that.
And who else?
Coleman will be relentlessly ambitious. He fancies himself. He rates himself, even though nobody else does. And so he'll be, I would predict, making a lot of noise. Nick Smith always liked being in opposition. He'll be
going to be hard.
Going to
be hard for Nick Smith, though, losing the election, the same election that guy made that sculpture.
I don't think that fazed him at all. Yeah, that is the
should have. That's such a great sculpture.
I know, but this is the nature of him. You know, you cannot even make a 50-foot statue of him dropping his trowel and rattle him. The man cannot be undone. And so, you know, he'll just charge on, and he will have... He really likes the scrapping of it. So
true.
You know, there are certain politicians who really get amongst it. Joyce in Parliament, I'm not so sure. I think he actually prefers doing that stuff on the radio where he's just making the snide remarks and doing his father knows best.
I've always thought that he's he would be the... I still think he may be the next leader. God, maybe not next week, but the next the next leader will probably be in for a while. He'll roll them, and then because he's cunning.
It's an he sure is, but he's so comfortable.
He's a Cheney.
Actually, yeah, he is. And in fact, the more I think about, or a Rove. The more I think about it, the more I think if he wanted to be leader, he already would have been.
Yeah, but he knows how the you know.
Oh, does
he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he knows how the cards fall.
I challenged
him on that. The last political interview I did at BFM, I said was with him before I left last time. I said, well, who are you going to roll? When are you going to roll them? And he's like, oh, no, I love John Key, I love him. And, you know, basically that's what he said in a roundabout way. But so John Key got out, didn't he? Got out before the loss. He gets to look good. He gets to become the CEO of the ANZ Bank.
Well, he got to look good the night of
sell
the election.
Sell his house he was to some foreigners.
He was acting as though they'd won it the night of the election, and he was sort of preening himself for that in the way of the dealer room alpha guy who knows the score. But look at the score now. Yeah. Alpha room dealer guy, your
shitbox city.
Your shit stock went down, bro.
Yeah.
But you're right, chairman of ANZ. Is he on the board of Air New Zealand or is he chairing that? I forget. You know, the world is welcoming to him and will be for a good long time. Yeah. Oh, and look, this is not to denigrate
the bankers.
It is a world he knows well, and he's sharp at it. And you know, he is no fool. I'm not saying he wouldn't be good at that shit. It's just he wasn't so great at looking after people and making sure that there wasn't a property boom that made an ordinary house in Mount Roskill cost $1.2 million, bro. You know.
Hey, there's a couple of text messages here that are one saying, "How's the soggy biscuit going, lads?"
Rightio.
I get it, but guess
two
what?
Two people's not enough for a circle, pal. Do you want to come and join us?
someone said the thoughts on housing policy. Do you reckon it's going to? I mean, but there's big promises being made over housing.
And
child poverty, two of the two.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Mental health and suicide. Mental health and suicide stuff. They seem to be grabbing with both hands and getting as much done as they can straight away. The housing thing's going to be interesting because you can make all the promises in the world, you can have all the plans in the world, but it's just got to happen.
I think our one last chance, and I've talked with Phil Twyford about this in several different media venues, is our one last chance to get affordable housing in Auckland is to intensively develop apartments. I think the actual standalone houses, that ship has sailed and we're screwed.
Yep.
But you can still make affordable apartments if you set it up on the right basis, and that is, in my view, having the state do it or the council do it and look for a return that is not a premium commercial one but a social return that says we're put it just like they did in the 1930s. We're putting this money into this stock with the understanding that what you pay will be affordable for you, and we stay there, and we're not looking for capital gain, and we're not looking for commercial return on it. It's just there for the long haul. Now, if they can do that, that would be terrific. He's kind of got a sort of an inclination for it, but not enough. You also have the problem that there are many moving parts to this, and they will only be able to do parts of them. But as for child poverty as well, I think as long as they keep saying, here's an element that is one of many that are required, and then here's another one, and then here's another one, and they steadily do that, then it will be evident that they're pulling things together. And you don't pretend that you've got some magic bullet. You say, right, this isn't fixed
which was a major mistake, I think, that the National Party made.
Right.
Trying to play the cards so late in peace. I thought it was disgusting. There's a couple of text messages here which I want to sort of finish up on. There's because it's something that I noticed a lot. In the last three elections up till now, I've been pretty vocal about, I've no qualms about saying who I sort of follow. And this election, I was really, I said to Sarah, didn't I, Sarah? I've said this to you, didn't I, Sarah? I said, wow, there's not a lot of national blowback. The last couple of elections before that, literally the second I opened my mouth,
right,
There was, and I don't know whether you got time on any radio.
Do you mean from listeners, Mike?
Yeah, from listeners, texters especially, almost to the point where I was wondering at one stage whether there was a concerted effort to shut things down. And that was on when I was on Radio Hurricanes doing the same sort of thing as well. And on BFM as well. And so I wonder whether the PR machine, the Crosby Texter, which is, by the way, is such a grunty, nasty, horrible devil's PR company, who are National's PR gurus, who that's where they get their, you know, so they get their secrets from. I wonder whether maybe they took a little bit for granted this year. And someone said here, look, 10 minutes of Why We Hate National changed the record. That would have come in months ago.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
that's only
just coming today. You only just sent that now, Texter. What were you thinking before? You know, and someone said everyone managed to sidestep the National's PR machine, which is because that's a big PR machine. It's way bigger than Labor's.
Chit, yeah.
You know, and it's way more entrenched and is way dirtier than Labor's. And
I reckon two elements. One is that the housing thing was just so bad that people were realising, shit, I can't really get so noisy
tripping
about this.
Tripping over homeless people.
And the poverty. And so that muted it. Second thing is, and I was finding this last year on talk radio, the people who are disaffected, they're tending to go the Trump direction now. They're talking a lot more about globalists and that sort of thing. And
right
so they've
on.
Kind
yep.
of walked away from National as well.
Yep.
Those especially ranty ones. You've still got a good core there who are
but
resentful.
Yeah, when Bill English lied right down the camera and said, those couple of times, yeah, that was pure Crosby Texter PR.
True. Yeah,
you know,
brazen it out.
Just lie and stick with it.
Yeah,
smile
yeah.
and lie. Even though not the night of the election, Stephen Joyce did it. It was disgusting, but it didn't work. It just didn't work. You know, it's like, and now we've got a text coming and going. Here we go again, the loony lefties. Yeah, that is right. Can't believe the hypocrisy. If an artist made a statue of Jacinda with their pants now taking a crap, there'd be an uproar. But because it's Nixon myth, it's funny and fair game. I repeat, hypocrisy. I don't believe that at all. I think that's you're not thinking about that at all, Cora.
It's also a bit problematic. I mean, there's a huge history of white men being politicians and not so much of a huge history of females being politicians.
Yeah. And the reason that it's there's a statue of Nick Smith taking a crap is because of the way that the hypocrisy is a word that you use there, buddy, of keeping our rivers clean.
And
we
were talking about the specific point of just how much does it take to rattle Nick Smith and the proposition being nothing at all.
Thank you, David Slack. Hey, I'm David Slack. Thank you very much for coming in. Lovely to see you. We could talk about this for weeks, couldn't we? And we will.
Just a bit of political commentary.